another difference of opinion. That some say that which has full conformity and change of lineage as fifth, and path consciousness as sixth, has one fusion consciousness. But that is refuted because it is the fourth or the fifth infarction that reaches the path, not those after that, owing to their nearness to the life continuum. When you are going towards a steep cliff, when you are too close to this cliff, then you cannot stop there because you are going with force. So you simply fall into the precipice. So in the same way, the thought movements are going very fast, and so it cannot stop as a magga in the sixth, at the sixth moment. And so that is why it is refuted that there is one fruition consciousness only. So it is inadmissible when you say there is only one fruition consciousness, because there cannot be one fruition consciousness, because the thought process becomes close, too close to Bhavanga, and when it becomes too close to Bhavanga, it cannot stand as the Magga consciousness on the sixth. So when there is no path consciousness at the sixth moment, then there can be no fruition consciousness, only no one fruition consciousness at the seventh moment. So so that cannot be accepted as correct. And at this point, this fifth enterer is called the second noble person. Now, so he is called the second noble person. Now, at the moment of path consciousness, he is called the first noble person. Next moment, he is called the second noble person. Just in one sitting, in very, very brief succession of thought moments. At the moment of path consciousness, he is first noble person. Then at the second moment, that means at the fruition moment, he is called the second noble person. That is why we have eight. There are eight noble persons. Actually, we can meet only four noble persons who have reached the fruition stage. So at the end, it's called second noble person. However negligent he may be, he is bound to make an end of suffering when he has traveled and traversed the round of rebirths among deities and human beings for the seventh time, because he has become a sotapanna, stream entrant or stream winner. Now, however negligent he may be, if he does not practice more meditation, it does not mean that he may be breaking the five precepts or whatever. But say if he gives up meditation and he doesn't meditate to reach the higher stages, then he is bound to make an end of suffering when he has traveled and traversed the round of rebirth among deities and human beings for the seventh time. So he will be reborn only seven times, and at the seventh life, he will surely become an arahant, and then see, makes an end of suffering. So a sotapanna has seven more rebirths. At the end of the fruition, his consciousness enters the life continuum. So after the fruition period, there is life continuum. That means that the end of that thought process. After that, as it arises as mind or adverting, interrupting the life continuum for the purpose of reviewing the path. Now, immediately after becoming a noble person, he reviews the path, the fruition, nibbana, and defilements abandoned, and defilements remaining. So these five things, a person who has reached enlightenment reviews or reflected upon.
You're not, so enlightenment is different from nirvana, as you're talking?
Yeah. Enlightenment is this, the consciousness here. And nirvana is the object of that enlightenment moment. So at the moment of enlightenment, the path consciousness arises. And that path consciousness takes nirvana as object. So nirvana is an external object. And it is taken as object by the path consciousness and also the fruition consciousness. So immediately after enlightenment, a person reflects upon or reviews five things. What are the five? Path, fruition, nirvana, defilements, abandon, and defilements remaining. So, what defilements I have abandoned and what defilements remain unabandoned. So this also he reflects upon, these five. Then, among these five, trainers may or may not have the reviewing of the defilements abandoned and those still remaining. So the last two, they may or may not review. So the first three, they definitely review the path, fruition, and nirvana. But the defilements abandoned and defilements remaining, they may or they may not review. In fact, it was owing to the absence of such reviewing that Mahanama asked the Blessed One, "What state is there still unabandoned by me internally, owing to which at times states of greed invade my mind and remain?" Now, Mahanama was an enlightened person. But sometimes he had thoughts of say, greed, or thoughts of fear, or thoughts of anger. But he did not review the defilements when he became enlightened. So he did not know which defilements he has abandoned and which remain to be abandoned. So he asked the Buddha. And the Buddha told him that because you did not review the defilements, so you don't know all of which should be coded. So it is a Majjhima Nikaya. Now, knowledge of the second path, that's noble person. However, after reviewing in this way, either while sitting in the same session or on another occasion, the noble disciple who is a stream enterer makes it his task to reach the second plane by attenuating both greed for sense desires and ill will and so on. Now, you may, a person may proceed to get the second stage in that sitting, in that one sitting. Or he may just stop practicing meditation after he reaches the first stage, and then he may take rest, or he may not practice meditation for any length of time. So that is up to him. So in the same session or on another occasion, sometimes a person becomes a sotapanna, and then he may remain a sotapanna for maybe months or years. And then he practices meditation and he reaches the second stage. Or some people reach the four stages or three stages or two stages at one sitting. So it depends upon his wish to reach higher stages. So he brings to bear the faculties, the powers, the enlightenment factors, and he works over and turns up that same field of formations, class as materiality, feeling, perception, formations, and consciousness with the knowledge that they are impermanent, painful, not self, and he embarks upon the progressive series of insight. So, after reaching first stage, if he want to reach the second stage, he must practice vipassana meditation again. But at that time, his vipassana becomes swift, not like the vipassana of ordinary persons. But he must again practice vipassana to reach the second stage. and then to reach the third stage, to reach the fourth stage. So at every before every stage, he must practice vipassana. That is why we say there can be no enlightenment without vipassana. So vipassana must precede all enlightenment or all arising of path consciousness. So the second path and the third noble person, then second fruition and the fourth noble person, and so on. Now, the second fruit, fourth noble person, the fruition consciousness should be understood to follow immediately upon this knowledge in the same way as before. And at this point, this one's Ritana is called the fourth noble person, who has reached the second stage. So he is a fourth noble person. He is bound to make an end of suffering after returning once to this world. Now, what is meant by to this world? To this human world. So he, after reaching the second stage, he may be reborn as a celestial being, and then from there he will be reborn as a human being again. So he is the one who returns here once returner. So to this world means to this human world. Knowledge of the third path, fifth noble person, that is the third path is a non-returner, right? Non-returner's path. And then the third path is immediately followed by third fruition. So after third fruition, he is called a non-returner. And so he is called the sixth noble person. After death, he reappears apparitionally elsewhere and attains complete extinction there without ever returning, without ever coming to this world again through rebirth linking. Now, that is paragraph 27. There we find the words to this world. Now here, to this world means to this sensuous world. That means to the world of human beings and to the world of lower celestial beings. So there is difference between the two. There, to this world means to this human world. But here, to this world means to this human and lower celestial world. Because after reaching the third stage of enlightenment, and after becoming a non-returner, he will be reborn in the Brahma world, not in the human beings or not in lower celestial beings, but will be reborn as a Brahma in what are called abodes of pure persons, the five realms up in the scale of 31 planes of existence. So he will be reborn in this one of the pure abodes. So to this world here means not only to this human world but to this Kama Vajra world. Now, after reviewing in this way, either while sitting in the same session or another occasion and so on, then he becomes an arahant. So the fourth fruit, the fourth magga, and then the fourth fruition. So after the fourth fruition, he is called an eighth noble person or an arahant. So we say that there are eight noble persons, eight kinds of noble persons, but in actual practice, we can meet only four noble persons, because the first, the third, the fifth, and the seventh persons exist only for one thought moment. So how can we catch that one thought moment? So in practice, there are four noble persons. But we say there are eight persons because they are different at the path consciousness moment and the fruition consciousness moment. And then, from paragraph 32, the states associated with the path, etc. Now, states associated with the path means states at the moment of path consciousness, are states accompanying the enlightenment. And there are said to be 37 of these states. And they are four foundations of mindfulness, the four right endeavors, the four roads to power, the five faculties, the five powers, the seven enlightenment figures, and the Noble Eightfold Path. So if you add them up all together, you get 37. But in reality, there are not 37 states. There are only how many? You remember? A bit of my students. Huh? 14. Mm-hmm. There are only 14 states actually, because for example, mindfulness, sati, is one mental factor, but here it is described as four foundations of mindfulness. And the second, the four endeavors, means just viriya. One viriya is described as here four. So in reality, there are only 14. I think it is described somewhere. Now, paragraph 34. Foundation is the cause of establishment by going down into and so on. This is a description of the Pali word, patthana and upatthana and sati and so on. So mindfulness itself as foundation is foundation of mindfulness. So foundation of mindfulness means firm establishment of mindfulness or something like that. It is of four kinds because it occurs with respect to the body, feeling, consciousness, and Dhamma objects, taking them as foul, painful, impermanent, and not self. And because it accomplishes the function of abandoning perception of beauty, pleasure, permanence, and self. That is why four foundations of mindfulness is said. So the one mindfulness is here described as four, because it occurs with respect to the body, feeling, consciousness, and mental objects, and also taking them as foul, painful, permanent, and not self, and at the same time abandoning the perception of beauty, pleasure, permanence, and self. So there are four aspects. That is why there are four mindfulness. And then next one is four endeavors. By it, the endeavor, thus it is endeavor, and so on. These are the word explanation. So one viriya, one effort is described as here four, because it has different functions. It accomplishes the functions of abandoning arisen unprofitable things, preventing the arising of those not yet arisen, arousing unarisen profitable things, and maintaining those already arisen. Now, with regard to akusala, there are two aspects, and with regard to kusala, there are two. Endeavoring to get rid of kusala, which are past, and then endeavoring not to have akusala, fresh akusala arisen, and then endeavoring to make akusala not yet arisen arise, and then endeavor to develop what has arisen, develop the kusala what has arisen. So there are four aspects. That's why there are four kinds of right endeavor or right effort. And then 36, paragraph 36 is about Adipada. So they are called in Pali Adipada, the roads to power or the basis of success. And I think they are mentioned somewhere else, right? Chapter 12, paragraph 44. And what are the four Adipadas? It is fourfold, about the middle of the paragraph. as zeal, desire, and so on. What are the other three? Zeal, effort, consciousness, and then?
Inquiry.
Right. Inquiring. I mean, inquiring means panya. So therefore, yes. Inquiring really means inquire and right understanding correctly. Not just inquiring, not just investigating. So there are, these are the four roads to power. These are supramundane only, but because of the words, if a bhikkhu obtained concentration, obtained mental unification by making zeal predominant, this is called concentration through zeal, etc. They are also mundane as states acquired by predominance of zeal, etc. respectively. So at the moment of enlightenment, they are supramundane. But at the moment of practice of vipassana meditation, they are mundane. And then faculties is in the sense of predominance, in other words, of overcoming, because these states as faculties respectively overcome faithlessness, idleness, negligence, distraction, and confusion. So there are five faculties. What are the five? Faith, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. The opposite of faithlessness, idleness, negligence, distraction, and confusion. And the power is in the sense of unwavering, because these states as powers are incapable of being overcome respectively by faithlessness and so on. So they are strong factors. They cannot be overcome by their opposites. That is why they are called powers. Both are fivefold as consisting in faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and understanding. That is why five faculties and five powers is said. Then mindfulness, investigation of states, energy, happiness, tranquility, concentration, and equanimity, factors in a being who is becoming enlightened, are the seven enlightenment factors. They are called seven factors of enlightenment. And seven are mindfulness, investigation of states, that means actually panya, energy, happiness, piti, tranquility, pasati, concentration, samadhi, and equanimity, upekha. These are the seven, called seven factors of enlightenment. And then, right view, right thinking, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. Eight factors of noble eightfold path. So there are these 37 states partaking of enlightenment. Now in the prior stage, when mundane insight is occurring, they are found in a plurality of consciousnesses as follows. So when you are practicing vipassana meditation, then these factors or these states arise in your mind, but with different kinds of consciousness. At one time, you may be dwelling on the body contemplation, I mean, mindfulness of the body. At another time, it may be on the feelings and so on. So there is plurality of consciousnesses which go along with them. But at the moment of path consciousness, it is said that they all arise. So they are found in a plurality of consciousness as follows and so on. But at the time arising of any one of these four kinds of path knowledge, on the next page, then all these states are found in a single consciousness. So all these states arise together with that single path consciousness. That is the difference. So when they are mundane, they arise with different kinds of consciousness. But when they are supramundane, they arise with one type of consciousness, which is path consciousness. In the moment of fruition, the 33 accepting the four right endeavors are found. Now, actually, four right endeavors are also, they also accompany fruition consciousness. But their function is prominent at the moment of path consciousness. That is why here they are excluded. In fact, Path consciousness is also accompanied by viriya. Viriya is a mental factor which accompanies many types of consciousness. So, fruition consciousness is also accompanied by viriya. When these are found in a single consciousness in this way, it is the one kind of mindfulness whose object is nibbana, that is called the four foundations of mindfulness, and so on. So when they arise with one consciousness at the moment of path consciousness, then they do not take different objects at the time, because the path consciousness takes nibbana as object, so they also take nibbana as object. That is the difference. And then nine in one way, one in two ways, then in four ways, and in five ways, and so on. It is making you more familiar with these states. So nine in one way, that means nine states have only one function, one name. Now there are 37, right? So let's call them 37 names. So nine has only one name, something like that. These nine are zeal, consciousness, happiness, tranquility, equanimity, thinking, speech, action, and livelihood. And they are found in one way as road to power, consisting in zeal, etc., since they do not belong to any other group. So they have only one name. Then one in two ways. Faith is found in two ways, as a faculty and as power. Then in four ways and in five ways. The meaning is that another one is found in four ways and another in five. Here in concentration is the one in four ways, since it is a faculty, a power, an enlightenment factor, and a path factor. Understanding is one in five ways, since it is these four and also a road to power. So these are just to make you more acquainted with these mental states. The eight ways and in nine ways too. The meaning is that another one is found in eight ways and another in nine ways. Mindfulness is one in eight ways. That means mindfulness has eight names among these 37. And that is a mindfulness, power, faculty, power, enlightenment factor, path factor. Energy is one in nine ways, since it is four right endeavors, taken as four, and then road to power, faculty, power, and enlightenment factor and path factor. So endeavor has the most, the greatest number of names or functions. And then emergence and coupling of powers. Now, the resolution, emergence and coupling of powers. Mundane insight induces no emergence either from occurrence of defilement internally, because it does not cut off originating, which is the act of causing occurrence, or from the sign, because it has a sign as object. Now, emergence from occurrence and emergence from sign. So some emerge from occurrence, some from sign, and so on, or some from both. So change of lineage knowledge does not induce emergence from occurrence, because it does not cut off originating. At that moment of change of lineage, no mental defilement is eradicated. So it does not induce emergence from occurrence. It emerges from occurrence of mental defilements. But it does induce emergence from the sign. That is because it does not take formations as object. Sign here means sign of formation. It takes nibbana as object. So it emerges from the sign, but not from the occurrence. Hence it is said, understanding of emergence and turning away from the external is knowledge of change of lineage. Likewise the whole passage and so on. These four kinds of path knowledge emerge from the sign, because they have the signless as their object, and also from occurrence, because they cut off origination, so they emerge from both. Now, path consciousness emerge from both from sign and from occurrence. since it does not, they do not take formations as object, then they emerge from sign. And since at the moment of path consciousness, mental defilements are eradicated, they emerge from the occurrence of mental defilements. So the path emerge from both both sign and both sign and occurrence. So they emerge from both, hence it is said and so on. So that now I want to point you one thing on page 797 about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines. You see there, right thinking, in the sense of the right thing, emerges from wrong thinking and so on. Now, when we describe the Noble Eightfold Path during Vipassana meditation, or we say, when you practice Vipassana meditation, all these eight factors are working, say, harmoniously in your mind. How? Right understanding, right thought. Now, you try to concentrate on, let us say, on the breath. Now, you need mental effort, see, to keep your mind on the object. So there is right effort. And then, when you make effort, your mind, as it were, hits the object or hits the target, something like that. So that is mindfulness. So mindfulness hits the object. And then your mind sticks to the object for some time, and that is right concentration. So after right concentration, you see the true nature of things. You see their impermanence, or you see their arising and disappearing. And that is right understanding. So how many did you get? 4. And then the 3, right speech, right action, and right livelihood are already accomplished when you take precepts before the practice of meditation. So they are also said to be accomplished. So 7. Then what about right thought? Now, right thought really means the mental factor which is called vitaka, initial application of mind. So right thought means not thinking of nirvana or thinking of formations, but that mental factor that directs the mind to the object, that takes the mind to the object.
So could it be intention?
Not intention. It is something that takes the mind to the object. When you shoot an arrow, maybe the force of the bow, like that. Without vitaka, mind will not take an object. So if we need vitaka, I mean this initial application, to take our mind to the object. So applying the mind to the object is affected by right thought or the initial application. So here we see that. Right thinking in the sense of directing. In the sense of directing means in the sense of something like pushing the mind to the object, taking the mind to the object. If initial application doesn't take the mind to the object, then mind cannot see anything at all. But that is why it is grouped with right understanding. So right thought and right understanding belong to the group of understanding. And right effort, right mindfulness, right livelihood belongs to the group of concentration. And the other 3 belongs to the group of sila, say moral purity. So right thinking really means that mental factor, mental state, which takes the mind to the object, which pushes the mind to the object. So they are described in here. And Then coupling of powers, I think we'll have to do it next time. Coupling of powers, we may as well do it. Now, at the time of developing the eight mundane attainments, the serenity power is in excess. So, when you practice jhanas, they say, eight mundane attainments means eight jhanas. So when you develop eight jhanas, serenity power is in excess. But at the time of developing the contemplations of impermanence, etc., the insight power is in excess. So when you practice vipassana meditation, then vipassana is in excess. When you practice samatha, samatha is in excess, something like that. But at the noble path moment, they occur coupled together in the sense that neither one exceeds the other. So at the moment of path consciousness, both are present. The samatha and vipassana. So at the moment of path moment, they occur coupled together in the sense that neither one exceeds the other. So there is coupling of the powers in the case of each one of these four kinds of knowledge according as it is said and so on. So serenity power and insight power. So during the mundane stage, one or the other is in excess. But at the moment of magga, they are equal and neither exceeds the other. No one exceeds the other. So serenity and insight have a single nature in the sense of emergence. They are coupled together and neither exceeds the other. Hence it was said, he developed serenity and insight coupled together in the sense of emergence. Now that is emergence and coupling of the powers. So they should be understood in this way. And then the kinds of states that ought to be abandoned and so on. And they are important. According to this explanation, we know what kinds of mental defilements are eradicated by which stage. First stage, second stage, third stage, fourth stage. So after a person reached the first stage, he must have abandoned, or he must have eradicated these kinds of mental defilements. And then after the second stage, he must have eradicated another kinds of mental defilements and so on. So they are described in the following paragraphs. So we'll do them next week.
Next week was going to be the last class, but we might need another one. Doesn't it look that
way? Yes.
Looks like
we've got close enough to the end.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. But
yeah. Do you have anything going on?
On the 5th, we might. Uh-huh. I think we might have something going on the 5th, which is the following week.
Oh, 5th.
But I'm not sure. I'll know next week whether we have something here that week.
Yeah, but I'm going on the retreat on the 5th. Okay.
So could we do it on the 12th, or you still be in retreat?
After the retreat, yeah. I think
so we might have another class on the 12th. We'll know next week.
Bye.
We don't want to stop short of enlightenment.
Right on the nose.